Please.
No, make him stand up. I have to stand up.
Talk to her after church, folks.
Pray for Sharon.
I do welcome you this morning as we come together, and it's so nice that we can come together in God's house and just have some laughter and some good times. Today, as we get together, we will be having Sunday school. I'm not sure. Did we decide at some point not to? No? Okay, we will be having Sunday school following service today. So please plan on sticking. What?
I'm like, why is he looking at us?
I don't know. I just do. Script orders today, and it is script order day. Okay. And we do have cards in. I know those came in this week, too, some to hand out. Monday, Crafty Ladies, also at Gene and T's Bible Study. No. I'm leaving now. I'm just...
No meeting at our house this week.
Okay, 9 o'clock Tuesday morning, I'm going to be at Country Junction eating breakfast. Come join me. I know that's happening, so we'll have a good time. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. We like to have coffee and refreshments and stuff before services. So there's a sign-up sheet if you'd be willing to take a week and bring something in to share in that way. Please take the time to sign up for that. And I believe with that, I'm going to move on. It's been a great week. It's been a wonderful week, and we got some cooler temperatures, and we got some rain. I'm just curious, how many this week received a blessing? Okay, now my next question, it gets a little bit harder. How many that received a blessing this week would be willing to share it? Wonderful blessing. Yeah, wonderful blessing. God does those things. It's just great. Well, I think it's important... Who does? Who? Go ahead. She's behind me. I couldn't see her.
Well, I got a new job yesterday.
All right. Yay. Here in Freeport?
In Lena.
In Lena.
So it's all right.
Okay. Yeah, we won't get into that. Well, congratulations. That's great. A lot less driving. At that, I would ask that our ushers would come forward. God does bless us. He blesses us many ways, and it's always an honor to come and to be able to just lift up and return to Him a portion of the blessing that He's given us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for those who are here. We thank You, Lord, for the many blessings that You give, and that we can count those blessings and little things to great things. We just see Your hand in it, and it's so special. So, Father, I just ask now that as we'd receive this offering, that we lift it up to You. And, Father, I just pray that it be used for the building of Your kingdom, that it be for Your glory and for Your honor, that it be given with cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The last song, and I'm sitting over there, do I say this or don't? I got to tell it, though. Gene goes in on the drums, you know, and he starts playing that drum. And I honestly, when he starts up playing that drum for that particular song, I just want to strap on a piece of loincloth and go swing from tree to tree.
Make sure you do it when nobody sees you.
Pound on my chest and yell. Well, okay then. This morning I want to begin with the words of a song. And this song was a big hit. You'll recognize it. It was a big hit for Whitney Houston. This would have been several years ago. But listen to the words as I read the words of this song. It says, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone to fulfill my needs, a lonely place to be, so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity, because the greatest love of all is happening in me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And I think as we listen to the words of that song, there are some of those words that we would agree with. Children are our future. They must be taught well, and they need someone to look up to. But then, for the most part, the words of the song I find I strongly disagree with. First of all, as we look at the song, there's an absence of God. And the message itself, the message is very humanistic. The other thing is, the greatest love of all, folks, is not self-love. Is not self-love. Well, I use this song because this morning we're going to talk about self-love, and I wanted us to understand a little bit that self-love is important. Now, wait a minute, Pastor, you just said it's... No, I said the greatest love is not self-love. But we're going to find out this morning as we go through Scripture and as we look at things that self-love is important. And it's very important if we're going to do what God wants us to do and be the people that God wants us to be. And I seriously doubt if you have ever heard a sermon really on what I call the forgotten commandment. That forgotten commandment is real simple. It says, love yourself. We miss that. It's in the Bible. It's written there. It's for us to read. But we're going to talk today then on love yourself. If you have your Bibles and want to follow, I'm going to start in Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus was teaching, and many people were actually trying to trap Jesus, and they were asking him questions to try to get him to stumble or to say something that was not correct. But in this case, this scribe that had come to him had been listening to what Jesus was saying, and he saw that Jesus was saying the truth. And really, you look at it, he wasn't trying to trick Jesus. He really wanted to know. He was curious. And he wanted to know, really, what is the greatest commandment? The Jewish scholars had cataloged over 600 specific commandments in the law. And this scribe, this sincere scribe, wanted to know, out of all these 600 commandments, what was the greatest, what was the most important one? And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these." Eugene Peterson in The Message, he kind of paraphrased it like this. He said, "Listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second: love others as well as you love yourself." So Jesus is telling us, love God, love your neighbors as we love ourselves. And by the very nature and the way in which he shapes these concepts of love, Jesus makes it clear that loving ourselves is a foundation on which all of these others, presumably higher loves, are built. In other words, those who love themselves are those who are most able to love others and to love God. And those who loathe themselves are most likely to hurt others and despise God. And we see this all around us, and it's so true. You see people who aren't happy with their life and they don't like themselves very much. They don't know how to show the love to someone else because they don't like who they are. Studies of criminal behavior usually and have come to the same conclusion. What kind of people become criminals of the worst kind? Those who are violent and murderers and rapists. And they're almost without exception, based on the studies that have been done, people who have been treated so badly by life that at some deep level they have learned that they're not worthy of love. Because they're not worthy of love, they don't have that love to share. They've been abused. They've been victims of racism or raised in poverty. They may have been abandoned by family and left without anything or anyone. And so, despising themselves at some profound level of the soul, they lash out in hatred toward others. And they kill and they abuse and they destroy. All of us have probably experienced the fact that the people who live life with a hostile and mean spirit are those who, for whatever reason, have a poor self-image and have little love for themselves. Did you ever run into somebody like that? Unfortunately, I've seen too much of it. People who don't like themselves, how can they like somebody else? People who don't love themselves, how do they love somebody else? On the opposite extreme, all of us have seen that the people who are the most capable of genuinely loving people are those who know themselves to be loved and see themselves as lovable. How many in here see yourself as lovable? Good. I like to see the hands go up. I didn't even ask for them. You're lovable. And I just don't think that we can genuinely love God or others without genuinely loving ourselves. Now, what this means we have to do, and as I go through the message today, you've got to really look inside. And you've got to really decide, do I love myself? It's not something you hear in church very often, is it? Love others. Love God. Love yourself. But that's what it says. As we continue today, I want you to be thinking about that. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Now, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Does everybody agree? All right, so we can tell people we love them. Is that correct? All right, I want you to turn to somebody, and I'm going to be mean. I'm going to say, don't let it be your spouse. Turn to somebody, and I want you, when you do, I want you to tell them that you love them, but I want you to use their name. I love you, Barb. I love you, Barry. Okay? And I want you to do that just once. Just turn to somebody and tell them you love them. Donna and Dana, no, that's not going to work. Okay, now here's what I'd like for you to do. As you're sitting there and as you're thinking, what I would like for you to do now in just a moment is I want you to say, I love, and then put your name in there. Like I'm going to say, I love Dennis. Now, don't you all say, I love Dennis, okay? Sometimes my instructions are not explicit enough. But on the count of three, I want you to say, I love, and then say your name. One, two, three. Okay, I'll believe you. I'm curious. Was it easier to turn to somebody else and tell them you love them than to say, I love Dennis? Okay. Why is that? Oh, well, it's a humility thing. No, it's not. It's that we really haven't truly learned to appreciate and love ourselves as God loves us. I mean, I know what I'm talking about today doesn't normally sit well with a lot of Christians because we're taught so much about loving others and not being selfish and not this self-love, but Jesus says that we're to have it, and most of us have been taught the evils of selfishness since our earliest days, and rightly so. Selfishness is evil. And we live in a profoundly selfish society. We live in a time when grasping and hoarding have become virtues. But what we have to understand is that selfishness, now listen to this, selfishness and self-love are polar opposites. It's precisely when we doubt our own value and worth that we need to accumulate stuff to make us feel okay for that day. Shopaholics, really, that's how they find their own worth, is the more money I can spend, the more I can go out and buy, they feel great about it. It's when we cannot appreciate our own worth that we find ourselves driven to measure our worth by the number or the kinds of cars that we have in the driveway or the square footage of the house that we have or the rings on our fingers and the bells on our toes. I mean, whatever it is, when we start looking at these worldly things, we're really looking and putting value in that rather than value in ourselves. Selfishness is not the point here. Self-love is. And just buying stuff to make us feel okay, that's selfishness. It's when we begin to doubt our own preciousness that we feel the need to boast about our accomplishments. You ever run into that? Wow, look at me, man. I've got this nice boat and I've got this house and oh, I did this and I did that and I was great at this and I was great at that and I was the best at this and I was the best at that. And you want everybody to know it. You want everybody to know it. I am great because of these accomplishments. Nonsense. No, you're not. But we cry out to people, notice me. See me, see who I am, pay attention and notice me. Because really the truth is, deep inside, I'm really not worth very much. Deep inside, I don't feel like all this stuff around me. Deep inside, when I'm alone and when I know myself, it's not a good picture. Jesus instructs us, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And how can a person even begin to do that if they've not already received love and therefore love themselves? How can they do that? It can't work any other way. You only love yourself as Jesus loved you. Love yourself, then you can love God and you can love your neighbor. But Jesus, we ask, why should we love ourselves and how can we love others? And unfortunately, what happens is in this passage, Jesus doesn't answer those questions. There in Mark chapter 12. And the reason he doesn't answer those questions is because that's not the question the scribe was asking him. But don't despair, guys. Just because that wasn't answered there, it doesn't mean that it's not answered. And the Bible answers those questions from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Why should we love ourselves? First of all, we should love ourselves because we're made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. Scripture tells us that we're made that way. And it's really the Bible's first defining word about us and who we are. God made us in His image. And when God took the dirt and He fashioned it and He breathed life into it and He created us in His image. And I want you all to remember this because it's very important. God don't make no junk. Young people, do not run that by your English teacher. But it's true. God don't make no junk. He made you. And He made you the best. He made you the most perfect. He made you because He loved you and He formed you and He created you. The Bible says, in your mother's womb, I knew you. He formed you. And God don't make no junk. We can love ourselves because we know we've been created by God. You and I, we're God's image on this earth. And loving yourself begins when you get to know the God who made you and realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. We have, folks, supreme worth and value simply because God made us in His image. Well, second, we should love ourselves, and you probably thought I wondered when I get this, because God loves us. You know, I've told people, and in counseling in my office, they come in and they beat themselves up pretty bad. And they talk, and we work through things, and I've told people, you know what? When you begin to look at yourself the way God looks at you, when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you, then you see how special you are. Then you see how much love you have and are able to give to someone else. Because God looks at you and He pours that into you. Scripture tells us that God loves us. And it's a primary point that God makes throughout the entire Bible. He loved Israel, and God chose Israel, and God redeemed Israel. And even though Israel, and under the law, God sent His own Son to fulfill the law and to die so that we might live. I mean, it's out of love. And there's no greater demonstration of God's love for us than that He would go to such an extent that we could have a reconciled relationship with Him. God loves us with a perfect, unending, unconditional love. Why can't we do that? I was having a conversation the other day, and it wasn't gossip. The context of the conversation was appropriate. And the context had a lot to do with people who have proclaimed affection, proclaimed love for others, and I love my church, and I love everybody in my church, and Laurel Street, I love it there. The people are so good, and they're fun, and they're kind, and I almost fell, and they're really wonderful people, and I just love them as they walk out the door, because somebody looked at them wrong. Somebody looked at them funny, or somebody mentioned their name. Not even gossip, just mentioned their name. Or for whatever reason in their own mind, they decided that suddenly they didn't. Do they know how to love? Because let me tell you something, love is unconditional. Love is unending. I love my wife, and I would take a bullet for her if that's what was necessary. And that's never going to change. She's my wife. She's special. She's awesome. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's caring. And I love her. And I have been shown by God how to love her. She is my wife, the one selected for me. That love doesn't change. When I talk to this congregation and I say to you folks, and it's whether it's the young men over here who are just kind of fun, I will leave it at fun, from them to the kids to the adults to whoever, when I say I love you, I love you. And if I don't mean it, I won't say it. If I don't mean it, I won't step to the congregation and say, hi guys, I love you all. I do love you all. Without condition. And that's the love that God has demonstrated for us. There's nothing that we can do or say that'll ever cause Him to stop loving us. That love is real. And the love is for every single one of us. God loves you, and God wants you to love yourself because of His love for you. Are you catching on to this? Do you begin to understand that it's okay to say, I love Dennis? I mean, you know, your own name. It's okay, because God wants you to. You can't love others unless you can love yourself. We also should love ourselves because God believes in us. God wants us to be successful in all that He has called us to complete. And He's got so much confidence in us that He gives us His Spirit as a deposit and as our counselor and helper. God's invested His all in us and has no other plan than to work in and through us. His eternal blessings await us in a place that He calls heaven. He's confident that many of us will respond to His love and will walk with Him in eternity. The Holy Spirit living in us. God is so confident of us that He has placed His Spirit in each of us, that we can know and understand love. I tell you what, if God is living in us and God is love and God is all about love, then how can we help but love? Does that make sense? I hope it does. Can you agree with me that God wants us to love ourselves and that there are some very good reasons to love ourselves? We can love ourselves because we're made in the image of God. We are loved by God, and He believes in us. The real challenge becomes personalizing these truths. I know I should love myself because God loves me, but how can I? How can we love ourselves? Well, first, I suggest that we begin by telling ourselves the truth. What? We begin by telling ourselves the truth. You know how hard that is? We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We become proficient at it. We become very good at making excuses. We begin by telling ourselves the truth. And I know that God loves me, but how can I love myself? I suggest that in doing that, it's very likely that others have said things that to you or about you that are not true. But you've believed them and you've been living them out in your life. It saddens me every time I see a parent, and fathers are terrible at this, tell a child how worthless they are. How worthless. I don't even know why we kept you. You're just a piece of garbage. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be able to do this. You're never going to be able to do that. And they simply crush. Men looking at their wives. You call this food? This is slop. You fix this? Even if it's true, you don't say it. Now, I'm fortunate because I married a wonderful cook. She wasn't a wonderful cook when we got married, but oh, how she came on in the later years. I think I said that wrong. Honey, I love you. But we put people down and people begin to believe it. And I've worked with people that from the beginning of their life, there's nothing but negative, and they've been put down, pushed down, shoved down, and to the point that they begin to believe, I am worthless. Well, let me tell you something. Romans 12:2 tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds can be renewed as we reprogram our thinking with the truth of God. And that's what I want you to remember. I don't care how much you've been put down. I don't care how little value you find in yourself. You can renew your mind. And you know what? If we renew our minds, if we start thinking of this, here's the message I want you to send to yourself, and I want you to say to yourself, and I want you to believe, God don't make no junk. I love that phrase. And it's the truth. God don't make no junk. And whatever you've been told, however you've been suppressed, put down, made fun of, teased, God don't make no junk. You know what? Here's my life. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was little, when I was in grade school, I was, believe it or not now, I was the smallest kid in my class. I was nothing but bones. And I got to be honest, I was ugly. I've seen pictures of myself. I was ugly. My dad would cut my hair, and he only knew one way to cut hair. You know, I could polish it like Dan can. I love you, Dan. But kids picked on me a little bit because I was the smallest. And I hated being the smallest. I hated being nothing but bones. Well, something happened along about seventh grade, between seventh grade and eighth grade. And suddenly I went back to school in eighth grade, and I started playing football and I started wrestling in seventh grade. Anyway, doing all these things. And suddenly I got bigger. And suddenly I got bigger than the littler kids, because that's what they were now, that picked on me. And so I was bigger, but you know what? In my mind, I was still little. And it took a lot of years for me to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm not who they said I was. My brother, they used to refer to him as String Bean. He got bigger too. But you know, we renew our minds. We reprogram our minds. And that's what I want you to... God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk, and He made you. What kind of things can we be thinking that'll help us? One important truth is that we're valuable and lovable because of God. God gives us value, He gives us love, and we must tell ourselves repeatedly and regularly that we are precious, that we're of value, that we're loved by God. And as we program ourselves with these thoughts, we need to ask God to help us believe them and accept them for ourselves. Whatever negative self-image you have, God doesn't see it that way. He loves you. He loves you. And He made you. Second truth that we need to work with is the truth that we are sinners. But hang on, because we are forgiven sinners. We don't want to leave that word there. And people have a problem this. All of us are sinners. We continue to do sin. And the fact is, there's no excuse to continue in sin, but we do. God calls us to resist temptation and to eliminate evil in our lives. And we work on it, but we continue to sin. And God forgives us. And in the process of all of this, God wants us to live in that state of forgiveness. If you're a Christian, then you're forgiven. All of your sins are erased. They're removed. They're gone. You're forgiven because God says so. That's it. That works. Therefore, there's no point in carrying the guilt and the shame of those sins any longer. You know, people do that. I did something many years ago, and they remember. And I've actually heard this. How can God forgive me when I can't forgive myself? The starting point is to realize that God does forgive you. And if He has forgiven you, then you can forgive yourself. Because who are we going to stand accountable to? God. And He says, I forgive your sins, past, present, future. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter because I forgive you. And when you come to me and you ask for that forgiveness, I freely give you that forgiveness. And I say to you, go and sin no more. I love the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus is sitting on the ground. And they're trying to trick him, but I won't go into that whole sidebar with that. And so they grab this woman. I wonder what they did with the man. The Bible doesn't say. They didn't grab him, they grabbed her. And they come and they drag her, and they put her in front of Jesus, and he's sitting in the ground, and they say, Teacher, Rabbi, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Who was peeking? This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, our law says that she should be stoned. She should be stoned to death. But today is the Sabbath. What do we do? Jesus scribbled something. I've always wondered what he scribbled in the dirt. Don't you? But all Scripture says is he just kind of scribbled in the dirt. And that's how God created the Grand Canyon, by the way. And he just scribbled in the dirt, and he looked at him and he said, whichever one of you is without sin, then you throw the first stone. And the men are standing there, and they got the big stones in their hand, and the woman's standing there, and she's crying. And they look at the rock, and they look at the woman, and whichever one of you is without sin, you throw the first one. And one by one, they drop their rocks, and they walk away. You know what I love about the story is the ending. Because then Jesus looks at this woman and he says, Woman, where are your accusers? Now listen, folks, this is important. And she said, I have none. And he says, Therefore, I accuse you not. Here it is. Go and sin no more. That's the message he gives us. He says, You know, whatever you've done, your sins are erased and they're gone. And really, all I want you to do, go and sin no more. The truth is, we're sinners. And we may, through the grace of God, tackle one area of sin of our life, and we get over that and we conquer it, and it's no more an issue in our life. But I guarantee you there's something else you need to work on. There's something else. There's other sin that maybe you haven't admitted yet or you haven't worked on yet, but you need to get past it. Go and sin no more, is what Jesus says. But if you do, He will forgive. We can love ourselves by treating ourselves with love. Now, I'm not talking about pampering yourself with a trip to a day spa or getting a massage or a pedicure. All those things, you know, they may be helpful at some point. You may enjoy them. I'm talking about being patient and kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Forgive yourself when God has forgiven you. Take care of your physical needs. Get enough rest and have recreation and nutrition. By the way, God sent his son and Jesus walked on this earth and he did all of these things. Many times you see in scripture where Jesus retreats to a quiet place to be alone. He needed rest. He needed nutrition. And we see all of these things and we are no greater. Take care of your physical needs. Rest, recreation, nutrition. When Elijah the prophet was in a bad way, if you look in 1 Kings 19, God prescribed a couple of things. Sleep and a good meal. That's all he needed. The body and the spirit are interconnected, and we need to lovingly minister to both. Now, here in a few weeks, I'm going to come back because I'm not done with this message, but I'm winding it up for today. Love yourself, folks. Love yourself as your neighbor, or love your neighbor as yourself. And we've looked at and tried to apply the command to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. We got to look at and learn to love our neighbor, but we're to love them as we love ourselves, and that's got to come first. We can't effectively love God or love our neighbor if we can't love ourselves. If you've ever flown in an airplane and you've watched the flight attendants and they get up and they teach the little safety procedure with the belt and all this kind of stuff, and they say, if the airplane loses pressure, does this sound familiar? The oxygen mask will drop, and if you're traveling with a child, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, then put it on the child. You have to put the mask on yourself first because you can't take care of another person if you first don't take care of yourself. You're busy trying to get that mask on a child, and you pass out because of lack of oxygen. You can't love another person if you don't first love yourself. And learning to love yourself isn't the greatest love of all, but it is very important. And all the love that we need to love ourselves and our neighbor is available to us, and it's available right now. God is so ready to love you. And he wants to love you so powerfully that your love for yourself and others will become just a natural and a fulfilling part of life. Love yourself. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we believe, and it's so easy for us to say, that we love you with heart, mind, and soul. And Father, maybe even for some, it's easy to say that they love you and love their neighbors as much as they love themselves. But Father, for many, they've never learned this lesson of it's okay to love ourselves. We're not talking about selfishness. We're talking about love. And so, Father, I pray that for those who are here today, that they would come to understand this, that they would understand everything that goes into loving yourself so that you can love others and so that you can love God. And, Father, just clear the hearts of those negative things that keep us from coming close to you and loving you. As we lift this to you in Jesus' name, amen.